Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. How about a roadmap at this stage of the game, if you've been listening to the podcast, to begin your remodel or new home project? I'm back up here in the studio in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's good to be home. Over the past couple months, I've been, maybe even 3 months, I've been doing a lot of episodes on what I've been calling the world of design. And most recently, I've covered a lot of the design professionals, from beginning with architects, interior designers, and so on. We're going to skip out of that area for a minute, and we're going to talk about the design process, your roadmap, and what you could expect, or should expect, I should say, when it's time to begin designing your project with a design professional. This should really help you understand the inner workings of an architecture firm or an interior design firm. They all use the same, very similar methodology in one form or another. And today I'm going to introduce you to that methodology. And then in subsequent episodes, we're going to talk about each stage that progressively gets more detailed as you work towards getting a complete set of plans and specifications. So today we're going to hop into the shop studio, me and my mobile studios here, and we're going to talk about the introduction to the design process. See you there. All right, picture this. You're standing on the street overlooking the brand new lot that you purchased, that you just got really excited about, and you and your spouse are coffee in hand, enjoying the view, envisioning your new home, or at least trying to envision your new home. But what is it going to take to get from that point to contractors breaking ground? It's a big hurdle. Big part of it is engaging with all the right people that we've just talked about in the past episodes. But now we're talking about what is the process to get there. That's what we're going to do today, is we're going to talk about the design process that most architecture firms, interior design firms, deploy to help you get to that point. And I think it's really important that we share that with you so that you can get in their heads, so you can understand what they're looking for, what you need to know, so that you can convey everything that you want and your wishes and your dreams, and then set those expectations for each one of those steps. I wrote a story. It's actually a fictional story in my book, in the prologue and the epilogue, but it's like a true story, and it articulates what people go through, two different scenarios, two kind of real life scenarios that can happen, and that in a variety of ways has happened. But let me tell you about Ben and Jane's story versus the McMillans. This is a tale that perfectly shows why understanding this design process is so critical. Both couples discovered their dream lots on the same day in a beautiful mountain development, but Ben and Jane were swept away by the stunning views and immediately rushed to put down a deposit on that lot. And the McMillans, however, had brought their architect and the construction agent to evaluate the lot first before they bought it. Ben actually noticed these two people hiking, taking pictures, and driving stakes, but didn't realize the significance. And what he was seeing was the McMillans being prudent about their approach, where Ben and Jane were ripping down the road to the developer's office to put the deposit down on the lot, not really realizing what they may be getting themselves into. So we're going to fast forward 18 months. Ben and Jane, here we are with Ben and Jane trudging through the mud in rain boots, staring at what looks like a scene from a horror movie. a dark, windowless structure with no workers in sight. Windows were delayed because they hadn't been ordered. The roof was missing because they hadn't selected it in time. And their architect was long gone because they thought they could handle everything themselves. Meanwhile, just down the hill, the McMillans are celebrating in their beautiful, completed home, clinking wine glasses as they enjoyed their housewarming. Both couples started on the same day, but the McMillans finished 6 months earlier and stayed on budget, while Ben and Jane's project spiraled into a nightmare. The difference, the McMillans understood and followed the design process from day one. If you want the complete story, I'm going to have a link in the notes here. It's a real fun one to download, and it's not that long. And you can read all about this true, sort of a true life scenario. What caused a lot of this is because Ben and Jane didn't really go through the discovery period like I've talked about in the book and in the podcast. And then they just leapfrogged all the way through the design process and ultimately created the nightmare all on their own. So when you hear about all these people saying, it was miserable, it was a nightmare, and all the finger pointing going around, a lot of it is because as a homeowner, you didn't really know what you needed to do in order to protect the experience. And here we go with my three principles, my three guiding principles: enlighten, empower, and protect. And that's today. We're going to keep on that mission. We're not going to let that go. And this is a big part of the enlightening process that we're going to cover today. So the design process is actually a well-documented methodology that architecture firms, we'll just stick with the architecture firm analogy right now, because those are the people that most often are designing residential projects of the nature that we've been talking about in this podcast and in this episode. But keep in mind that architects can go all the way from bathroom and kitchen design, remodel renovations inside a home, all the way to designing and helping you build palatial estates. And don't forget that, because architects really provide the most value, in my opinion, when it comes to people that want a high-quality project and a well-protected experience. So think about this. The design process is kind of like a stepping stone process. This is where your Pinterest boards come to life. Your architect takes all of your discovery work that we talked about in the beginning of this podcast and in the beginning of the book, and they create concepts based on your input that you've taken the time to do. And if you've skipped that process and just picked up a phone, this is the beginning of your Ben and Jane nightmare, because you have not articulated your dreams and visions and your budget to an architect or an interior designer or even a kitchen and bath designer, depending on the project that you're doing. Step one in this three-stepping stone approach of visualize a nice slow-moving stream with three stepping stones to get to the other side. And there's a space in between each one of those. And we're gonna take our first leap onto stepping stone number one, which is the schematic design process. So the schematic design step, being the first stepping stone into the stream across to the other side, is, like I said, where you start to see your ideas come about, your dreams, your visions, your ideas, your concepts that you start to see come alive in design work. And design work is absolutely crucial at the early stage for you to be able to visualize and obtain direction from your designers, but also to give them direction. So one thing I want to keep in mind here is that this is a two-way street. The old garbage in, garbage out cliche is actually a real thing. And the clientele that spend more time up front researching and learning about what they want and then conveying that to their design team have a much better experience than those that don't. And what I mean by that is the schematic design process is the most organic, free-flowing process and can be one of the funnest ones too. Let's use an example. So In a remodel example, you may say to an architect, I would love to have a new kitchen. I need to remodel my bathrooms, and I really need a new primary bedroom, an additional primary bedroom and bathroom for the home because our family's growing. We like this mountain modern style, and we have these particular lifestyle things that go on, that we like to mountain bike and we travel a lot and one of us works at home. And you getting the idea here is that you're sharing your lifestyle with your architect, which you've thought about in that discovery stage, and you're conveying that to them and you're sending them the images and the pictures of the styles that you like. And they are getting, they're starting to get you. They're starting to learn about you and your family. And the more you can do this, the better the output that you're gonna get. So if you start sending an architect or a designer on a wild goose chase, trying to figure you out and proposing design ideas that are not even close to what your style is, there's a couple of reasons why that happens. One is it happens because the architect and the designers weren't given enough direction. But the other side is some designers are really stuck in their ways and only can figure out how to do it a Mediterranean style, for example, rather than your mountain modern style or your farmhouse style or your modern contemporary style, if you get my drift. So it is, again, it's a two-way street, but the best designers, the best architects can understand you, and they will ask you a lot of questions. And what they'll do is they'll develop design ideas in the schematic design. Now, today we're just going to touch on the process. And then the next episode, I will be going into the details of each one of these steps. But think about step one, the schematic design, okay, as the free-flowing exploration period where you start to see those ideas develop. The step two is often called design development. And what that means is this is where you start to get serious about the details of your project. You've probably by now made a decision on the option that you want. So your architect during the schematic design process may have offered you two or three ideas, whether it's a new home construction or a remodel. Let's look at an option with the kitchen on the back of the home now instead of the front. Let's look at an upstairs suite versus an addition on the backyard, things like that. So the design development stage is where you start to kind of lock in more. So the schematic design is very free-flowing, can take a week or a year. It depends on you and the project and how decisive you are and how well your designer responds. In the design development stage, you start looking at the materials and the colors and the different systems that you may want to install in the home. You'll also start to see your full design team come together. And what I mean by that is if you've hired an architect, you've probably engaged with one person the whole time, but there's going to be other people that get involved in the project, like you may have learned in the previous episodes, such as an interior designer, a structural engineer, a civil engineer, etc. So you'll start to see a team develop, and that's a big part of the architect's job. So by now, you've selected the option that you want, the style of the home, and you're starting to see things come together in a more regimented way. So you're not allowed to make big changes like, oh, now I want the home on the other side of the lot. That's not what the design development stage is about. That's for schematic design. You want to move walls around in a big way and move the buildings around and explore architectural styles and kitchen in the front, kitchen in the back. That's what schematic design is for. When you get into design development, you've made choices. You've made commitments as a homeowner that this is the direction I want to go. Now, you can make changes in design development, but remember, it's going to cost you. And it's not necessary. It's unnecessary to pay extra costs at that point. And this goes back to my principles in the beginning with the discovery stage and taking the time before you even call anybody to vet some of that stuff out on your own so that you don't have people running around in circles. And they'll run all day for you, but they're going to get a bill in your inbox on Monday morning, every Monday morning with their hourly fee, if that's what you've agreed to with them. And that's coming too after we talk about the process. We're going to talk about different types of agreements with the designers. The third step, as you bounce across the stream, is called construction documents, or sometimes it's called construction drawings. What I mean by that is you have now made all of the decisions that you've been guided by your architect, your designer, and they now have a job to do, and that is to begin getting the plans ready to submit to the city or county for a building permit. There's a lot of detail work behind the scenes that you're not even aware of that are required to obtain a building permit, and also, and maybe more importantly, to convey the scope of work and the specifications of the project to a general contractor, home builder, remodeling contractor, so that they can estimate the cost of the project accurately so that we don't have any of those infamous surprises. So during these three steps, there are different pause points, right? So when you hop onto the first stone and you stand there and you work with your architect, your designers, there's a pause point there before you hop onto the next one. And that is you start thinking about, am I satisfied with the communication, the engagement with my designer? Can I visualize my project? Have they provided the tools and the solutions for me to be able to see what I'm getting? Have we talked about cost and budget yet before we go too far? These are some of the key things to think about before you move on with a designer. A lot of architects format their agreements and their pricing structures at stages of the projects. For example, stage one schematic design may be a fixed fee. It could also be an hourly fee, and we'll talk about that later. But what's important for you to understand is, do I want to keep writing checks to the person that I've been dealing with? It's not uncommon to pause at that point and decide not to do that. Hopefully that doesn't happen to you, but it can. And we want to do that now because the stories out there of people that have paid tens and tens of thousands of dollars only to realize that they're not satisfied with their designer, there's a lot of those stories out there. And the goal is so that you're not one of them. Okay, so in the design process, what we've talked about now is we have a three-step process. We have the schematic design, we have the design development, and we have the construction documents. These are the three core elements of the design process when you're working with a professional design team. There's two peripheral ones on the beginning and the end. In the very beginning, there might be some early discovery period with an architect to decide if you even want to purchase the lot, or just some high-level conversations before you actually hire them and engage with them. And then on the backside of the design process, once the construction documents are done, there's construction administration. And that's where the architect helps you manage the project from obtaining costs and budgets all the way through to deploying construction and keeping an eye on the construction as that goes on. But the three core ones is what we're talking about. And I want to talk about some important aspects of this that I know is on your mind, and that is, can I afford my project? There's two things that can happen during this, and I call them budget checkpoints. It would be after stage one, the schematic design, and after stage two, design development. And there's two benefits of going through a budget checkpoint, and that's a pause point period I mentioned to you earlier. You're evaluating, do I even want to continue on with this architect or this designer? Are they listening to me? Am I truly committed to this project? I've now vetted out my ideas because I've been running around in circles trying to figure out if I can even come up with any solutions. I know a lot of you are doing that, and you get stuck, and you've been thinking about this for years. So is this designer the one for me? So that's that. Now, when you get to the end of schematic design and you've looked at three or four different options for your new home or your remodel project, somebody's got to say, how much do we think this is going to cost? We're still at the stage of getting the cart before the horse a little bit, where it's very difficult to price out a project before it's completely designed, but it's a lot easier to evaluate, or I should say a lot more dependable to evaluate a project cost with some type of data rather than no data. So a lot of clientele in the past that I've dealt with have walked in the door with a quote unquote budget in mind. And after talking with people, the budget really is just a number that they feel comfortable with, or that they heard it might cost from their neighbors, or they've just gone through some high level thought processes and really had nothing to do with the design of the project or the details, right? It's just, I think I want to spend $200,000. And by the way, here's the big long list of everything that I want. Very common issue. But here's the problem is homeowners get that stuck in their mind that my project's going to cost $200,000. And let me just go with it and have the architect design everything up, only to come to find out that it's three or four times more. So the idea here is that the end of schematic design, hopefully, when you're engaging with your design professional, you've asked some questions like, are there architects or builders that you've used in the past or that you've had experience with where other clients of yours have used that you thought was a good experience for them? Almost always, there's a list of contractors that architects will provide you that will be people that you can contact and open up a dialogue. Very early stage, but this is the type of person that you want to engage with at the early stage to decide if the project that you've gone through in step one in the schematic design is even worth pursuing. So the idea here is to take the drawings from the architect and 3D renderings and visit with a contractor and talk with them about the project on site so they can visualize it themselves. And what usually happens is a contractor, a home builder, a seasoned, experienced home builder has experience enough to be recollecting past projects that they've done. The really good ones have analyzed their projects, not the estimates, but the actuals of what the project costs on a per square foot basis or a hybrid of per square foot basis plus certain components of the project. I got to tell you, the really good builders can nail it pretty close if they have some type of data. Now, you can also request that they do a preliminary cost estimate. You can't really hold them down to it, but it's a lot better than the neighbor yelling over the fence, bragging about how much they spent and diluting you on the expectation there. So the obvious benefit here is that you've already engaged with a contractor and you're starting to qualify these contractors for your project. Don't be afraid to engage with the architect as well on that and have them participate in a kind of a prelim budget meeting. So you've already set an investment goal, as we've talked about in the past. You think you're comfortable investing this dollar amount into the project. You maybe have even, hopefully, you've even told the architect that, right? So they're not designing some massive project that's outside your scope. Now you're drilling in further and you're getting a prelim budget off of some real data. Still very high level, not a lot of detail there, but they know we're adding 500 square feet, we're remodeling 800 square feet of the kitchen, we're raising the ceilings, we're putting a new roof on. You get the idea. They've got something to sink their teeth into, and you had in your mind the project was going to cost $100,000, and the builder says to you, I would probably start around $200,000 for a project like this, and I can think of one that we could even go look at that costs $350,000. So now you're getting a sense of reality, right? You thought you were going to spend $100,000. The architect may or may not have told you that you're nuts, that there's no way you're going to do it, and proceeded with the design anyway. Regardless, you're getting some kind of sanity check before you write more checks to the designer, before you hire any more builders, before you spend any more money. You are now making educated choices and decisions on what to do. And what could that be? That could be that you decide to do the master suite later. That could be you go out and find more money. It could be a variety of reasons. This is a very personalized business, both from a design aspect and a financial aspect. Nobody can really read your mind. So we're trying to help you get to that point, but ultimately you have to share reality with your designers and your builders and then you guys can craft the project together. This is a step that's missed a lot, and people just keep plowing through. I've actually experienced this myself. I hate to admit it, but I've had projects where the momentum just gets going so fast that we, not that we destroyed the project, but we had to back way up, break things out into different phases, reduce some quality selections down, and just created a lot more work for everybody and delayed the start of the project. So this is this pause point, this budget checkpoint. Now you're empowered to make decisions.
All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again.
The next budget or pause point is after step two. Now, here's the thing about step two. Step two was design development. What's happened in design development is this is the core part of the design process. This is where most of the work occurs. You are specifying everything, all of the cabinetry, the countertops, the flooring, the roofing, the windows, the doors. You've made final decisions on the design. You've optioned things out. You've declared things to be options to a builder. The structural engineer has come in and completed their plans. The interior designer has come in and specified all the materials. The civil engineer has specified all the scope of work for outside the boundaries of the building, if you're building a custom home. All the material, the electrical lighting plan is completed. So the electrician can actually provide a hard cost estimate rather than the preliminary one at the schematic design stage. So the idea here with step two at the end of design development is to now go back to your builder or reach out to more than one builder and explain to them that we are deep into the design process. We have 90% of the materials specified. Would you be open to providing a cost estimate for the project? First question they're going to ask is, do you have structural engineering? Do you have structural drawings? Do you have all your choices made? And you may or may not have all your choices made, but you hopefully have a large percentage of them done so that they can price them out. So you're asking for kind of a preliminary, it's still in the preliminary quote stage, but it should be a quote that you can now depend on, that both sides can depend on for the project. Now you can make another decision point here where you can say, okay, designer, go ahead and complete step three, the construction documents. Or you might say, I really am going to option out the master suite because now I've got a hard cost. Let's not complete the drawings for that part of the project. Let's just focus on the interior remodel. Or if you're building a custom home, you may say, let's not build the shop now. Let's leave the basement out of it. Even though you may have engineered that basement into the project, you still haven't built it yet. You've spent some money on design, but you haven't built it yet and got into trouble with over budget situations. So that's not the best case scenario, but it's way better than going deeper and developing the construction documents and even getting the permit for that. So you can see that there's a range there of level of intensity when it comes to the type of project and the type of options and variables that you have. So what's happening here is you're making educated choices. From a homeowner's perspective, what you want to say to your architect or your interior designer, maybe just doing the project, should we pause now and talk about cost? Would it be possible to maybe get some preliminary estimates at the end of this schematic design stage so I know I'm okay? Step two, should we pause again, now go back to that contractor and tell him we've got all of the things specified? Would he be able to firm his numbers up? You prompting that question is really good. It tells the architect that you are interested in that aspect of the project. And then they can help participate. You can ask them, would you be willing to work with me on that to help me find contractors or builders and get drawings to them so that they can help you with that? So you can see what's happening here is you're getting empowered to make decisions. You're protecting your experience so that you don't get into construction and realize that there's a lot of things that were not included in the preliminary price, even if you got a preliminary price. You could go all the way through step one, step two, step three, have a beautiful set of plans that looks like a big, thick fire log, that is ready to go to the building department. And sometimes people even go to the building department to get the permits and pay the fees while their contractor is pricing out the project for the first time. This is the problem. This is why people get blown away on projects. What we've done here is we've mixed in the locating builders and contractors. We've mixed in clarifying budgets, validating budgets. We've made smart investment decisions based on how much you wanted to invest in the property versus how much the project would potentially cost. And you're bringing those together and you're making educated decisions. This is how you can then enjoy the experience of building your home. Keep that in your mind. Some of the biggest mistakes that homeowners make, and you can probably already figure them out, and what I just said, the ones that come to mind are trying to skip the steps, right? Some people will justify that. They'll say, I just want a simple kitchen remodel. I don't really need to go through all those steps. I'm comfortable with how much I want to invest, and it'll probably cost that much. And as long as you're okay with it costing a lot more, because it probably will. I have yet to hear in 35 years where people said to me, oh, is that all? I thought it'd be a lot more than that. So it doesn't happen. It's usually the other case because it's human nature to gravitate towards that lower number. When people tell you, oh, it's going to be $200 to $500 per square foot to build my home, and you have a 3,000 square foot home, people instantly go to the $200 per square foot number, which is a bunch of baloney anyway, when it's really going to cost you $500 or maybe even more. So that's the human nature of it that gets you into trouble. But trying to blow through the steps of the design process, not specifying all the materials, skipping some of the, for example, the architect may just put together a standard electrical lighting plan. It has nothing to do with what you wanted. And then you go to get bids, and then here come the change orders. When you say, is there any lighting in the ceiling? And everybody looks at each other and says, no. So there's a really good example. Another mistake that I'll say is homeowners don't necessarily understand their role in the whole process. A lot of times they think they're just handing over, once they hire somebody, that it's all on them, that they're going to figure it all out, regardless of the input that you've provided them. That's one of the biggest mistakes, and that adds to a lot of problems. One, extensive design process that doesn't need to be, delays in design, cost escalations in design, inadequate plans and details because what's getting delivered to you is not exactly what you want. And if you haven't engaged enough, you haven't spotted those. You want to participate in the project. I know it sounds funny to say, but it's true. And I've thought a lot about this. The clientele that have participated the most in the design process, and what I mean by that is being available, attending meetings, initiating meetings, saying to an architect, I really would like to meet with you and go over some of these details. Researching materials on their own and colors, even though they have design professionals, they're going to be more up to speed than you are, but this is a very personalized experience, and you may find things that you really love that you want to convey to them. When I start getting emails from clientele as I want this, I like this, I want this, I know I'm in a good situation because they are involved. And the other reason, there's just a lot of benefits of this, but another big one is now I know what they want, so I can specify it in the plans, I can cost it out, and I can double check to see when it's available, what the lead time is, where to get it. All of these things come to play when you're trying to manage a project. When you're rushing to figure out what the front door is and it's supposed to be installed in a week or two, and you find out it takes 8 weeks to get because the homeowner and the contractor finally got together to figure it out, it's a disaster. And then it costs $20,000 because the one they like and they budgeted $3,000. This is a classic situation and a real one where people then, homeowners, say, oh my God, I've blown my budget. I can't believe it. What happened? How come my designer and my builder did this to me? That's not always the case. There are some unscrupulous contractors out there that try to charge clientele for things they shouldn't be. But a lot of it is because it's going to cost what it's going to cost. Nobody figured it out in time. And eventually it comes out. So why not be in the driver's seat during the design process to make sure that you can afford the $20,000 front door? And if you can't, pick out a different one then so that you don't have to get up against a wall later. We don't want to rush through these pause points. That's mistake number three. It's taking the time. If you have done a really good job on the discovery stage of your project, and here's the book, I'm showing it to you in case you're just listening. This book here in the discovery, part one of the book is all called discovery. And this, it's not that much to read, trust me. Or you can listen to it as an audiobook. That was my little plug. But if you've done a really good job on your discovery stage, the effectiveness, the productivity of the designer is going to be 10 times better, which means you should have enough time to pause, do your budgeting, do your contractor research, pull together a team to figure out the budget so that you can then progress forward. If you've taken 6 months just to get through the schematic design process, that could be on you. Not always. You could have a designer that's not responding with what you want, need, wish, style that you like. That could happen, and it will happen sometimes. But it usually takes two to tango, and yeah. So anyway, so that is a big part. So you're going to want to have enough time in between the pause points to really make sure that you've positioned yourself best when it comes time to move forward. And then what's really cool is if you've done a really good job yourself and your design team knows that, wow, these people are serious and they really want to understand the design, they want to understand the costs during steps of the design, what's going to happen is when you go to break ground on your project, the experience is going to be a lot better. A contractor and builder is going to see early on that you got your what together, that they're going to be able to implement the construction of the project, and you're going to be able to sit back. You'll still have a few little decisions to make, guaranteed, but your experience is going to be a lot better. You shouldn't get pummeled with change orders like you hear about because you've already figured it all out early on. All right, so here's a tip. When you're interviewing your architects or designers, ask them to walk you through their process. If they can't clearly explain these three steps and what happens in each one of them, you may want to look elsewhere because you want to make sure that people have some sort of methodology. Now, it may look a little bit different than what I'm talking about today, but the odds are it's going to look really similar. When you're just in your very first interviewing process, ask them that question. And they're going to give you, hopefully, the answers that you want to hear. And then that will usually lead into more questions that you have on each one of those steps. All right, so let's recap the big ideas today. The design process has three distinct steps. Conceptualizing the design, schematic, locking the design in, design development, and completing the plans and specifications, construction documents. And each step has specific goals and deliverables from your architect to you. The pause points between steps are your opportunities to maintain control. You're not a passive participant in this process. You're the general manager of your project. And the idea here is to give you enough enlightenment so that you can actually do that. And understanding this process helps you choose the right design professionals. So if you're planning a project, start thinking about which phase of design would be the most challenging for you. Begin developing questions to ask potential architects about the process. Consider how you'll handle the visualization challenge. What tools will help you see your future space? And start preparing for those pause points. They're your decision moments. Are you happy with your design experience with your design professional? Have you been able to engage with a builder or contractor? Have you visited the budget? Those are the three components of that pause point. So in our next episode, we're going to dive deep into that first step, schematic design. We'll talk about how to prepare for that big reveal meeting with your architect, what questions to ask, and how to provide feedback that keeps your project moving forward. We'll also discuss the difference between designing a remodel versus a new home because the process does definitely vary. But that's just the beginning of our design process series. Over the next several episodes, I'm going to take you through each step in a much greater detail, giving you specific strategies, scripts for conversations with your design team, red flags to watch for, and insider tips I've learned from 35 years of doing this. We'll cover everything from how to evaluate schematic design presentations to navigating the material selection process without getting overwhelmed, and how to make sure your construction documents are bulletproof before you break ground. So it's about the planning. I hate to keep saying that, but it really is about the planning. And you do hear that a lot, and proper planning, thorough planning, but there's not a lot behind those statements. So we're going to build a little roadmap for you as you start thinking about doing a project, or maybe you're in the middle of interviewing architects, or maybe you're already under construction. And that's okay, because you can start to think about the things that you forgot. So remember, the goal isn't just to end up with a beautiful space. It's to enjoy the journey of creating it. And when you understand the process, ask the right questions, and stay involved as a general manager of your project, you transform what could be a stressful experience into an exciting adventure. If today's episode helped clarify the design process for you a little bit, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email. It's in the show notes. And let me know what resonated most with you. And if you're working with an architect right now, ask them to explain their three-step process and see how it aligns with what we talked about today. And don't forget to visit the Awakened Homeowner website. You can also look at my BuildQuest.co website, where you can see me talking about the application that I'm developing that will help you do a lot of this. You won't have to think too much. That's the idea, is you just dive in and live in that little world, and you'll be able to accomplish all of this there. So that's what I have for you today. We talked about the design process, the summary of the design process, and that's what we have. I'm Bill Reed, and I am your home building coach of the Awakened Homeowner. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning into the Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab the Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.